Good morning. So we continue the meditation. The Lord said to me, "My daughter, do not tire of proclaiming my mercy. In this way, you will refresh this heart of mine, which burns with a flame of pity for sinners. Tell my priests that hardened sinners will repent on hearing their words when they speak about my unfathomable mercy, about the compassion I have for them in my heart. To priests who proclaim and extol my mercy, I will give wondrous power. I will anoint the words and touch the hearts of those to whom they will speak." Another paragraph. Community life is difficult in itself, but it is doubly difficult to get along with proud souls. Oh God, give me a deeper faith that I may always see in every sister your holy image, which has been engraved in her soul. So Jesus is present in each person, and also present in the place where you work. Although they don't believe in Jesus Christ, still Jesus is there, no? So, see Jesus in each person. Everlasting love, pure life, pure flame, burn in my heart ceaselessly, and deify my whole being according to an infinite pleasure by which you summoned me into existence and called me to take part in your everlasting happiness. O merciful Lord, it is only out of mercy that you have lavished these gifts upon me. Seeing all these free gifts within me, with deep humiliation, I worship your incomprehensible goodness. Lord, my heart is filled with amazement that you, absolute Lord, in need of no one, would nevertheless stoop so low out of pure love for us. I can never have been amazed that the Lord would have such an intimate relationship with his creatures. So Jesus, God is so high, but he just come just among us in the Blessed Sacrament, just stay with us. Then again, in his unfathomable goodness, every time I begin this meditation, I never finish it, because my spirit becomes entirely drowned in him. What a delight it is to love with all the force of one's soul and to be loved even more in return. We say we love Jesus, but Jesus loves us more. To feel and experience this with the full consciousness of one's being, there are no words to express this. So we need to come to the chapel with hearts, not with mind. Don't think many things. Just feel the love of God. January 25th, 1938. My Jesus, how good and patient you are. You often looked upon us as a little children. We often beg you, but we don't know what for. Because towards the end of the prayer, when you give us what we have asked for, we do not want to accept it. Another paragraph. One day, a certain sister came to me and asked me for prayers, telling me that she could no longer stand things as they were. "And so please pray, sister." I answered that I would, and I began a novena to the Divine Mercy. I learned that God would give her the grace, but that she would once again be dissatisfied when she received it. However, I kept on praying as she had asked me to do. The next day, the same sister came looking for me, and when we again began to talk about the same thing, I told her, "You know, sister, when we pray, we ought not force the Lord God to give us what we want, but we should rather submit to His holy will. The gospel of today. The gospel. Don't ask what, just what you want. Give God, give us all things, but not that we want what He wills. But the she thought that what she was asking for was indispensable. Towards the end of the winter, the sister came again and said, "Oh sister, the Lord Jesus has given me the grace, but now I'm of a different mind. Please pray so that things will somehow be different again." You see, one's mind's changing. She asked one thing, then in these 9 days, she changed her mind. Asked for another thing. I answered, "Yes, I will pray, but that God's will be done in you, sister, and not what you want." Most merciful heart of Jesus, protect us from the just anger of God. A certain sister is constantly persecuting me for the sole reason that God communes with me so intimately. And she thinks that this is all pretense on my part. Jesus, you know, whatever can be done. When she thinks that I have done something amiss, she says, "Some people have revelations, but commit such faults." So she said, "Although you have all this inspiration, but you make many mistakes." She has said this to all the sisters, and always in a derogatory sense, in order to make me out as some sort of an oddity. One day, it caused me such much pain to think that this insignificant drop, which is human brain, can so easily scrutinize the gifts of God. After Holy Communion, I pray that the Lord would enlighten her, but nevertheless, I learned that this soul will not attain perfection if she does not change her interior disposition. When I complained to the Lord Jesus about a certain person, saying, "Jesus, how can this person pass judgment like that, even about an intention?" The Lord answered, "Do not surprise. That soul does not even know her own self. So, how could she pass a fair judgment on another soul?" Many times we don't know ourselves. How can you are so sure to know other person? No. Another. Today I saw Father Andres at prayer. I also knew that he was interceding with the Lord for me. The Lord sometimes makes known to me who is praying for me. I'm keeping myself a bit in the background, as though this work of God did not interest me. I'm not speaking about it at present, but my whole soul is steeped in prayer, and I'm entreating God to be as good as to hasten these great gifts. That is to say, the Feast of Mercy, and I see that Jesus is acting and is himself giving the directives as to how this is to be carried out. Nothing happens by accident. So many things happen, but not by accident. You are sitting here, not by accident. Although you say you want to come, but without God's help, you will never come. Today I said to the Lord Jesus, "Do you see how many difficulties there are to be overcome before they will believe that you yourself are the author of this work?" And even now, not everyone believes it about the Divine Mercy. So nobody believes in her. So hard the people believe. Now Jesus says, "Be at peace, my child. Nothing can oppose my will." In spite of the murmuring and hostility of the sisters, "My will shall be done in you and in all its fullness, down to the last detail of my wishes and my designs. Do not become sad about this. I too was a stumbling stone for some souls. So they don't trust Sister Faustina, the same they don't trust Jesus also. Jesus complained to me of how painful to him is the unfaithfulness of chosen souls. And Jesus says, my heart is even more wounded by the distrust after all, after a fall. It would be less painful if they had not experienced the goodness of my heart. So many people have the grace of experiencing God's gifts, God's love, and they don't trust. And this is what hurt Jesus more. It's what we learn from other sources. At the prayer, the agony at the Garden of Gethsemane. Her pain is not for her, not for his future crucifixion. It's more from the distrust of his beloved ones. So Peter's denial of him hurt him more. I saw the anger of God hanging heavy over Poland. And now I see that if God were to visit our country with the greatest chastisements, there would still be great mercy, because for such grave transgressions, he could punish us with eternal annihilation. I was paralyzed with fear when the Lord lifted the veil a little for me. Now I see clearly that chosen souls keep the world in existence to fulfill the measure of justice. So on the world, many bad things should happen. Judgment should come on earth. But many good souls, through their prayer, sacrifice, hold the anger of the Lord. I saw a certain priest's effort in prayer. His prayer seemed similar to that of the Lord Jesus in the Garden of Olives. Oh, if that priest, probably Father Sopoko, only knew how pleasing to God that prayer was. So this Father Sopoko will be beatified, I think. He is the spiritual director of Sister Faustina. He is helping very much to promote divine mercy. So now the church is giving beatification to him, I think in October, something like that. Oh Jesus, I'm locking myself in your most merciful heart as in a fortress, impregnable against the missiles of my enemies. Today I found myself in the presence of a certain dying person who was approaching death in my home neighborhood. I supported her with my prayers, and after a few moments, I felt for a short while pain in my hands, feet and side. So she was praying and she felt, you know, kind of communion with their sick person. January 27, 1938, during Holy Hour, today Jesus complained to me about the ingratitude of souls. Jesus says, in return for my blessings, I get ingratitude. In turn for my love, I get forgetfulness and indifference. My heart cannot bear this. So Jesus is so hurt because we forget about him. When we go out of the church, we live another life. That's what Jesus more. Jesus wants the whole time, 24 hours over 24, be with us. At that moment, love for Jesus was enkindled so strongly in my heart that, offering myself for ungrateful souls, I immersed myself completely in him. When I came to my senses, the Lord allowed me to taste a little of the ingratitude which flooded his heart. This experience lasts for a short while, you see. She experienced the feeling of Jesus' ingratitude. Today I said to the Lord, when will you take me to yourself? I have been feeling so ill, and I have been waiting for your coming with such longing. 1937, 1938, no? He died in that year. So she asked to be close to Jesus, no? And Jesus answered, "Be always ready. I will not leave you in this exile for long. My holy will must be fulfilled in you." And she said, "O Lord, if your will has not yet been entirely fulfilled in me, here I am, ready for everything that you want, O Lord." "Oh my Jesus, there is only one thing which surprises me, namely, that you make so many secrets known to me. But that one secret, the hour of my death, you do not want to tell me." Jesus told her so many secrets about the world, about his heart, no mention about her time of death. "And the Lord answered me, 'Be at peace. I will let you know, but not just now.'" Interesting, eh? "Ah, my Lord, I beg your pardon for wanting to know this." Do you ever ask the time of your death? Did you?
No.
Dare? You dare not. What about the Lord say, "Today, I invite you. Are you ready, Lord? So, get ready." Who knows? There's a purpose. If Jesus says, "Oh, 10 years later," then you say, "Okay, I have 10 years naturally." Who knows? That's why in the gospel, he didn't mention. "You know my yearning heart, which is eagerly going out to you. You know that I would not want to die even a minute before the time which you have appointed for me before the ages." Jesus listened with wondrous kindness to the outpouring of my soul. Now, January 28, 1938, "Today the Lord said to me, 'My daughter, write down these words. All those souls who will glorify my mercy and spread its worship, encouraging others to trust in my mercy, will not experience terror at the hour of death. My mercy will shield them in that final battle.'" So if you are afraid to die, better you trust in the merciful hand, merciful Jesus, and spread this good news to other people if you are afraid. If you keep your mouth shut, then, no, Jesus doesn't revenge for these things, but, you know, open your heart. Why do you keep your only things for yourself? Don't be needy to yourself. Jesus is giving us to share his great mission. And we are so belittle ourselves. This is not humility. This is pride also, part of pride. He sinned again. And another phrase. "My daughter, encourage souls to say the chaplet which I have given to you. He pleases me to grant everything they ask of me by saying the chaplet. When hardened sinners say it, I will fill the souls with peace, and the hour of their death will be a happy one." So say with joy the divine mercy, the chaplet of divine mercy. Say with joy, eh? Don't say, "Oh, I have time, enough time. You just want to going out. Just relax and have heart with Jesus. "Now, write this for the benefit of these distressed souls." I'm not sure whether you are distressed or not. So, Stina, write this for those distressed souls. In one way or another, we are distressed, eh? I'm sure. "When a soul sees and realizes the gravity of his sins, when the whole abyss of the mystery into which it immerses itself is displaced before its eyes, it is not despair, but with trust that it throws itself into the arms of my mercy." When we are our fear many times, trust yourself, throw yourself into the arms of God's mercy, as a child into the arms of its beloved mother. "These souls have a right of priority to my compassionate heart. they have first access to my mercy. Tell them that no soul that has called upon my mercy has not disappointed or brought to shame. Keep in mind always the image of divine mercy. Keep in mind, when you have these massive images in your mind, keep in the soul, mercy of Jesus. I delight particularly in a soul which has placed its trust in my goodness. Write that. When I say this chapter in the presence of the dying, I will stand between my Father and the dying person, not as a just judge, but as a merciful Savior. You see, Jesus is kind. He is not a judge. We're all thinking, oh, we go to see Jesus and we judge you. Trust, even the last second of your life, don't be late. And he will, let me see first what Jesus is like, and then you say, whether I believe and I trust in you. No, before you die, faithfully trust. Many times, the whole life is trust. But the devil is there too, stand by your side, telling you, don't trust. Even Jesus himself at this temptation, you know, from the film, say, can you, just one person, save the world? You know? Okay, next week.